where we bring you thought leaders from around the world so you can share their inspirational stories and empowering practical tools on spirituality, mindset, self-love, being master of your own reality, purpose, business and lifestyle, and so much more. Everything from these beautiful people is so heart-centered and so freaking wise and so damn valuable that people usually pay really big bucks for their coaching. And I bring it to you for free so that you can have the most inspired life possible. So listen ahead for our latest guest, and I'll see you on the other side.
Hello and welcome to another episode of An Inspired Life, where we find freedom and meaning by embracing our divine essence. And I'm so excited because I feel like this interview is going to be so much fun. Erin Kiner, is that how I say your last name, lovely? Yeah. Erin Kiner is on the show today, and she is someone I've never met before in this lifetime, at least, although we feel like we've connected straight away, instantly. We're going to have a cuddle party at some point in our pajamas. And we just met like a few minutes ago, which is so cool because I feel like the most bare and true that you can be, every layer I shed, that when I meet people who have also shared layers, that it's an instant connection. We're not pretending. We're just like, I love you instantly. And we've already said that, Erin and I, in the last like 5 minutes. So Erin is an absolute beacon of love and light. And when I asked her, so how do I explain what you do? She couldn't, because it's changing so much and it's emerging all the time, which I think is cool, because the people who are listening, you're probably going through the same thing. Like, who you were yesterday, not the same as who you are today. We're growing so much, and definitely the planet is going through such a transition at the moment. So I might let you introduce yourself in whatever way feels like it wants to come out right now, Erin, but I'm so excited to have you on the show, my love.
Oh, thank you so much. And what a divine connection. Even the way that we've been brought together, it's all just orchestrated by something so beautiful and intelligent and greater than our human self. So I'm very grateful.
Me too.
Incredible connection and the love. Like, let's get in our pajamas and cuddle now.
Could you just fly here, please, now? As I say to my partner all the time, no, now. I get impatient sometimes.
But I'm glad that you've invited me to introduce myself, because I still, too, am really struggling to offer anyone a clear definition of who is Erin Kiner and what is it that I do. And I even feel that there is a bridge. I'm closing the gap between who I am and what I do, and that's very quickly becoming the same thing, that it is in being Erin Kiner that I'm doing what I'm here to do. And so I used to just have this roll off the tongue introduction and say, hi, I'm Erin Kiner, I'm a meditation teacher and a life coach, and I'm here to teach you, or I'm here to show you, or I'm here to help you, blah blah blah, and that would just roll off my tongue without even me considering it. I'm a life coach and meditation teacher, and it was a definition that fit me really well and made me feel safe, and it just isn't my truth anymore. It's such like a tiny little portion of who it is that I am. And as soon as I seem to put words on it, or as soon as I seem to have defined myself in some way, I've already outgrown that experience. And who I am is unbounded and infinite and limitless. And that's what I do in the world, is that I just exist in this unbounded state, continually pushing those limitations of who I know myself to be. And I invite other people along on that journey, whether they realize they're being invited or not, whether it's an interaction that I have with the barista, or a date that I go on, or a soul sister that I'm connecting with like I am now. It's like, I just be who I am. I share love. I hold the deepest vibration that I can of love and peace and forgiveness and compassion. And then magic shit happens. So, you know, I work with clients one-on-one, I work in group settings, I teach large groups, and I basically take whatever the universe puts before me, and I do the best job that I can at whatever is offered.
I love that. Thank you. Thank you for being on the show. So do you know what comes up for me as you say that? I said to my partner today, do you know what? And then I started to talk, and he was like, you have to wait for me to say what. That wasn't what came up, but I just thought I'd share just for fun. As I heard you say that, it just, and I can't even remember what I was going to say now because I made myself laugh and I thought I was hilarious.
That was our intention. Let's just have fun.
Yeah, that's honestly, everyone listening, we're just going to have fun on this podcast. That's what we're here to do. All right. Okay. So yesterday I had a session with an intuitive guide, although I mean, still that doesn't seem to encompass all that she is either. But anyway, I had a session with her and I forgot again what I was going to say. No, this is coming through. Right. Okay. I got it. This like never, everyone who's listening, if this is your first podcast, this doesn't happen to me, but I'm just so excited and full of feminine energy. And I feel like this could possibly happen. I don't know. We'll just let it flow. So yesterday I was speaking to Emma, my beautiful intuitive guide, and she was going to walk me through some EFT. And then she said, okay, so focus on that feeling in your heart. And I was like, okay. She's like, try and expand it. And I was like, I can't, it's disappearing. Like, it just wasn't there anymore. And I said to her, I feel like just my presence, just witnessing it and having you hold space while I do that is healing it. Like, I don't need to do any special tool, although I am a big fan of EFT, I didn't need to do anything. I just, like, being held in her presence was healing and clearing and raising my vibration anyway. And I feel like, see, it was powerful, wasn't it? Once I got it out, that story.
It was so worth it, babe. I'm so glad you took three goes.
I was like, if it's a third, I'm not even going there. But that's what I feel like you probably do, Erin, is that the space that we hold, like, you're so right. What we're doing in the world and who we're being, they're meshing together, because really it doesn't matter if we're speaking the right words in a coaching session or we're standing on stage. I believe it's our energy inside that is making that transformation happen anyway. Is that, that's you feeling
exactly
that as well?
Exactly what I believe. So yeah. I've gone two of my, one of my favorite teachers in this lifetime is Dr. Joe Dispenza, and he's had a humongous catalyzing effect on my life. But prior to meeting Dr. Joe, I went to see another prominent spiritual teacher, and I remember going and listening to her talk and being really underwhelmed. And I was like, yeah, I know that. Yeah, I got that one. Yep. And after this day, I thought, you haven't taught me anything. And I thought you were my teacher. And what you're showing me actually is that we're more like sisters. And that's a freaking awesome validation. But what I saw was her beingness. And what I saw in that room was women just transforming, like boom, 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 like popcorn. I was seeing these things, incredible shifts happening that they can't even understand why. And they're just crying in her presence. And I'm like, because you can feel her love. You can feel her vibration. And all she needs to do is come out on stage and hold that vibration and you'll transform. It's not about the words coming out of her mouth. Because I could have got up and spoken those words. I could have got someone off the street to get up and speak the words, and it would have had a different impact. And then I was like, oh my God, we can stop focusing on everything external and 100% focus on our vibration. And when we hold that vibration, we'll be granted the audience, the opportunities, the gifts, the abundance, whatever it is that we seek. If we work on that first, we're pushing uphill to make the external world change. And actually, it's all within. Mm-hmm. So Dr. Joe, he holds the strongest vibration of the divine masculine I've ever been in the presence of. And again, holding space for, oh my God, he's amazing. 500 people in that room having humongous mystical experiences, like huge shifts and transformation. People healing themselves from incurable diseases, and they're in your presence and you're looking at them and hearing their stories. And he does that entirely through his vibration. Yes, there's an intellectual component, and that's powerful to have as well. The knowledge is the precursor to the experience, but it's the experience and the energy that creates these life-changing experiences for us.
My God, magic is happening on this podcast already. Just as you're listening, everyone, even if I forget what I'm going to say twice or maybe more than that, you're getting that energy, which is cool.
Yes. And in my last interview that we did, we laughed and we said, don't even listen to what we're saying. Just feel into what we're saying, and you'll receive the information, the energy, the interpretation, the symbolism, whatever it is that you were destined to get from this conversation. And if it's nothing, that's also perfect because I'm not going to be the teacher for everyone. We're all like, one of my greatest teachers was actually going to teach meditation for a public speaker who was so misaligned with me. And I remember like hearing his speech and going, no, that's not true. That's not true. And he was saying something along the lines of, if you've had this trauma, you're always going to have it. You just have to learn to deal with it with life. It's going to be there. And I was like, no, you know, like such a resistance. And yet he was a perfect teacher. I got exactly what I needed. The message there was like, Erin, that should be you. This is before I went into speaking for myself. And I was like, oh my God, thank you for being my teacher. Yeah. I'm not walking away with a message you wanted to deliver by any means, but I got exactly what I was meant to get. Even in the resistance, even in the trigger, even in the like, broken expectations of what I wanted, he was a perfect teacher for me.
I know I actually found that as well when I was working with clients. If I felt like, I don't know, maybe I'd just had an argument with my partner. Geez, he's getting a bad rap today. So we argue a lot. It's a conscious relationship. It's hard work.
And the triggers are the beauty. That's our growth.
Yeah. The woman I interviewed last, she said that they trigger us because they like rub up against the stuff that's ready to come off. And I was like, oh, that makes me feel better. But so say, imagine if I'd had an argument with my partner or something, and then I got onto this client call and I wasn't feeling like I was in the best space, or maybe I would say something and they would be like, no, that's not right for me. I don't feel that at all. And I just got to this place where I was like, do you know what? I have to trust that it is right. So if I say it and you don't like it, what does that make you feel like you want to do instead? Like, what is that inspiring you to do? Or is that resistance that you need to then have a look at? And so that surrender and realizing that whatever I say must be perfect because I'm saying it in the first place, that was beautiful. And I feel like that is a great segue into, this is so much fun, that is a great segue into what's going on in your life at the moment. Because aren't you kind of going, okay, none of this is what I thought and it seems to be perfect somehow. Can you tell us what's going on for you?
I'm so glad you led us here because in my mind I'm like, this is the perfect segue to talk about. I'm like, yes, we're going there.
I almost had a personal high five on that segue. It was so good.
Both of them arriving at the same destination. I went for a walk today between clients to get a coffee, and I was walking home and I was like, I can high five to my courage. Like, holy crap, the amount of courage it takes to lean into that resistance. And that's what I do. Every time I feel fear, every time I feel resistance, every time I get triggered, I'm like, damn it, that means I'm going to move towards that thing. Whereas in the past I was avoiding, you know, like, oh, that doesn't feel good, move away. Mm. Oh, that person really pisses me off, get them out of my life. Like, whatever it might be. And now it's like, you got to move towards that person, got to explore that trigger because that's the growth. Mm. So I was in an incredible relationship for 12 years, like just the most phenomenal, epic love. And for the last 2 years of that 12 years, we were really working hard in a sinking ship, and we both knew on a deep level that our karma was coming to completion. But the part of me that loves comfort and security and safety was like holding on, like, I really like we've done a really good job, we could stay, but the universe had other plans. And we had almost like a divine intervention, I'd say, of the universe saying, girls, it's time, you need to face this fear. So we completed our marriage. It's, as we're recording it, 3 days short of the 1 year mark of us starting that transition out of marriage. And I have, and it was possibly even 2 years before that, I was sitting in meditation in my bed and I had the most overwhelming visceral sensation of I surrender. And I'd not really explored the energy of surrender before that, but I felt my being prostrate on the ground and I could feel my third eye against cold, wet grass as I truly offered my life in service of the divine. And I said, use me as a conduit, use my life in the greatest expression of service to humanity, whatever that looks like. That's when my world started to tip on its axis. That's when Dr. Joe came into my life and he was a huge catalyst for change as well. And then ultimately the transition out of marriage. And so what I think is surrender, I've got no freaking idea of the depth of surrender, and I keep being called to surrender more and more and more. And just when I think I've hit a little comfort zone, that gets taken out of my hands and I get asked for something else. And so I've literally gone from having this divine, gorgeous, plush, luxurious life full of love and community and connection and a dog and like just a beautiful home. And now I live in two freaking suitcases and I travel the world and I just go from place to place. And that's a massive challenge for me as a Cancerian. Mm. Man, I've grown more in these 12 months than I have grown in the last 5 years.
Mm. Yeah.
And that takes a fuckload of courage.
Yeah, it does. Good on you. Like, I actually wrote today to somebody on my Facebook page, I think. She said something about my courage, and I said to her, I feel like courage is the one difference between a fulfilling life and just like coloring in between the lines. Like, I don't think it takes intelligence or like power or to be gifted, or I think we've all got all of that, but I actually think the determining factor is the courage, because it is scary to look stuff in the eye that feels like it's telling you that you don't deserve to be loved, or it is scary to go to an event and you have no idea what's coming. It is so scary to leave your partner when it's felt safe for 12 years and to not know if you're ever going to get that something better afterwards, or if you're ever going to feel like that again. And the courage is what helps you to step over that.
Yes. And it hasn't felt like I'm jumping off a 10 meter tower. I actually probably couldn't jump off the 10 meter diving platform. I think I'd be too shit scared.
Same here. This heights is still my one fear that I'm like, I'm good. I'll keep that one. And I saw a spiritual teacher and she told me I could keep it for a while longer. And at some point it wouldn't feel as scary. So I was like, okay, good. Okay. I'll focus on the internal fears first.
Well, for me, the courage doesn't feel like I'm putting myself on the edge and I have to jump. Mm. It's like there's no other choice. It's like, sometimes I sulk and I cry and I say, life, why can't I just stay on Kauai? Because that's what happened. I moved to Kauai, but I've had all these travels since then. I'm like, why can't I just stay? Well, actually, Erin, you could just stay. You could shut up and stop whinging and go back to your comfort zone. There is nothing inside me that would be satisfied with that. So suck all you want, Erin, because you're going to keep moving forward. Mm. So I do that determination and that courage that drives us forward. Mm. But I feel like it gets so intense sometimes that the last week I've felt like I'm just hurtling through space, like an astronaut that's just like, oh, detached from a spaceship, which was a really random childhood phobia of mine, was to just like get lost in outer space. So I'm like flailing my arms and my legs, like, please, life, can I hold on to something? Mm. And I came across this video on YouTube of this girl doing this dancing in one of those tubes where they float.
I saw that just a couple of days ago.
And I was like, man, I need to move through space that graciously. She looks like she's pole dancing. And I imagine myself just flailing. And
yeah.
Like, I used to dance in the sky, and sent me a photo of her skydiving. And I was like, that's it. I'm going to skydive, because that makes me face a third dimensional physical representation of this internal fear I have. And I can jump out of that plane and enjoy that experience of hurtling through space and let go of some idea that it's bad or whatever the bloody story is that I make about it now, and actually enjoy the expansion. I'm sure not my entire life is going to be this rapid expansion. It'll be cyclical. So while it's here and I'm going through it, enjoy it. Dance in it. Dance through the sky like a pole dancer.
That's the aim, isn't it? Because it's not. I have
that gracious all the time.
Yes, sort of. But last year was really challenging for me. I started it at the start of February. My father passed away. And then at the end of the year, in the start of December, my dog passed away, and my dog was like my son. So it's like I had a father and a child pass away in the same year. And like, it feels scary, and you kind of want to be like, I opt out, but you just need to like find a way when everything feels like, I guess what that taught me was that it doesn't stay. Nothing stays. And so you have to be able to release your attachment to that and find that somehow you dance, even when it feels like it's all falling apart around you. You know, like as you're flailing through the sky and all of these foundations that you thought you had around you are just like leaving you, find a way to be able to dance within. And I feel like it's also secretly my defense mechanism to, I'm like, okay, I'll find a way to dance within and then you won't have to take everyone else away. Like there's a bit of that still going on. But it's like, if you can find it within, like as those things leave, I feel like when I split up with my partner as well, it was like, whoa, my whole world fell out from underneath me. And I had to commit more to my connection with the divine, because that's the only thing that won't leave at some point for me.
I'm so glad to hear you say that. And that also came to me as I was walking with my coffee. And I thought, the connection, I have devoted myself to that connection. I've worked really fucking hard at it. My client said to me today, you know, but you're all hip to the universe. Like, that's so
like
cool.
Like you were born like that.
Hasn't always been like that. I was a drug addict. I fucking hated myself. Like I have come so far, but I've really committed to it. And do I think that potential exists for everyone? Fuck yes. Does it come more naturally for some of us? Absolutely. It would be like learning an instrument. Someone could pick up an instrument and have a knack at it and learn it quickly. But that doesn't mean that we won't also learn it. It might just take more commitment. And it really is that devotion to that connection to whatever is greater than us, however you and I choose to define it, which could be the same, which could be different. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. But as soon as we say that connection is it, and it's that internal connection, life can be chaotic and we're held. And that's what I'm finding. And I'm so glad that you found that too. And I lost my grandmother and I lost my wife. And I felt the same thing. The two women who meant the most to me, who I experienced unconditional love from. So it was this humongous, like they piled up on top of each other. And when the second loss came, it was like, whoa, it just taps into this reservoir of grief of the first loss. So I really, my heart really feels the loss that you went through last year, my darling.
Thank you. And I could feel as you spoke, I was like, oh, I can feel it. And what I've realized since then is that loss is also a gift, because it shows you how much you loved in the first place. Yes. And like nothing can take that love away from you, not even if you can't physically feel them with you. Or even, you know, if you're separated, like I can still, I love my, my former partner as much as I love my current partner. Like I have so much love and nothing can take that away. Not physical, distance, and not, you know, them not being in the same dimension, just takes it to another level.
It's funny I even use the word loss, because if I was to speak with anyone in my life or my clients, I would do little like loss, like it's a freaking illusion. There is no fucking loss.
It feels like it though at the time, doesn't it?
We have to honor that. We have to honor humanness and the part of us that feels the grief and the loss and the lack of their physical presence. But the experiences I've had of my grandmother since she's left are so limitless. I don't want to bring her back into form. There's a part of me that yearns to cuddle her and just be with her and hear her little Scottish accent. But actually what I know is she's infinite. And we're more connected now that she's no longer limited in form. But on the human level, it feels like loss and suffering. But it is that connection to the divine and that knowingness, living in that knowingness that it's an illusion. And all of it is a gift for us. Everything is a gift. And that's how I live my life. I'm constantly saying, what is the opportunity in this? Oh, I'm heartbroken. I'm being gifted. And I see my wife and I doing that in our separation too. Such incredible gifts to each other of continuing to support each other's growth through the process of separating. And we said, we'll do this as well as we did the relationship. And we have. And it hasn't always looked picture perfect. Like it's been triggering. It's been messy at times. But overall, I'm really freaking proud of how well we did it and who we are now as a result. And still being able to say thank you, like thank you for all of this, because I am who I am because you gifted me with these experiences.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because everyone that we meet and the experiences we have with them help us grow into something more of who we were already, but you know, we didn't know that without those experiences. Yeah, that's beautiful. Can you give us some tips on then how to navigate that breakup for people who are listening that are going through a separation? How can you do that as well as you did the relationship?
Yeah, that is such a great question, and I would love to focus more on this in my work too, to really support each other, to support each other with the experience that I've already had and use that as a service on a greater scale.
Mm.
And I think the number one thing is still committing to love and compassion. And when we have those triggers and we're feeling that loss, is have a support team that's separate from that person. Like, we used to use that person to make us feel better, to comfort us, to give us encouragement or support, or to listen to us or whatever it might be, is actually making sure we've got others who support us on that, and then continue to show up as the best person that we can be. So whatever interactions that I have with my ex-wife, I'm not taking it out on her. I'm not crying to her. You know, that's what my friends are for. That's what my family is for. Even though it used to be her.
Yeah.
Don't utilize her in that way anymore, and make that commitment to love, to compassion, to kindness, to generosity. Like, her generosity and kindness has moved me to tears. The fact that she still loves me to that degree, even though we can recognize that we're not meant to be together. I think the physical space was huge for us, me moving to Kauai. She also went on an epic traveling adventure for 3 months too, and got to go find herself, you know, separate, because that's really what we're doing. I was 21. She was 18 when we got together. And so those 12 years were like all we'd known of adult life, was as the kindness. We're a team. She's my buddy.
Yeah.
So we went on this amazing journey of experiencing life as individuals. So if you can separate as much of life as possible so that those patterns aren't there, because they're energetic currents and they're strong. They've been in place for a long time. So we have to help having a physical experience of life that supports us in not getting back into the current, because it's easy to fall back into that blueprint that's there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
do you know what?
Travel.
yeah. Because we did the opposite, my former partner and I. So he was my best friend for 2 years, and then at 18 we got together, and we were together for maybe 5.5 years. Mm-hmm. So he was like all I'd known, really. And when I found me as an adult, when I was finding me as an adult, he was there for all of that. So I had no concept of myself without him there. And when we broke up, I was like, okay, but we're only going to break up if you're going to stay in the same house, but, like, you know, we're still going to live together, right? Like, he was my best friend. I couldn't imagine life without him. Yeah. So for about 3 months, we still lived in the same house together. And then we had a 1 month holiday, 5 week holiday booked together. So we still went on that, and then it was just, I don't recommend it, to be honest. We still thought I think we still had this like crazy idea that we were actually together, or at least idea that didn't hit me. And so my relationship, like the separation got dragged out about 8 months before I even realized we were actually not getting back together, and we weren't together that whole time. Even though we saw other people in that time, like none of them seemed as important as our connection, because you're right, that energy is just intense, and you like have felt like you're a part of each other for so long. I definitely recommend space, and then you can come back to try and find a friendship after that.
Me too. And I loved that our unraveling was slow and gentle over time. Like, it wasn't this severe cut. And I think that's what people are afraid of when they are looking at their relationship and they're like, I don't like what it is. I often say it doesn't have to be a termination of everything, but it's to say we're not going to relate in this way anymore. So we pulled back the romantic connection first, and we said we're no longer connected in the romantic way, but the friendship was still there. The love, the family connections were still there. And then we slowly had less and less contact over time. And that felt really good, because it was like, fuck, we've had 12 years of, being merged energetically, and it literally feels like I'm losing a limb. I'm losing a best friend and a wife and a business partner and a family member, like, fuck, my whole world. So we supported each other as much as we could as we unwound. And then we had a completion ceremony, which was super powerful. And, and you know, there's still more stages of letting go as we both, you know, move on and get into serious relationships. There is still that little thread of like each other that only we had shared, that now is being shared with others. And that's just like, oh, so heartbreaking, but only because it's based in the illusion that she was ever mine, that I'd ever created a construct that said that is mine. Even though that was a super healing part of what we provided for each other, I now recognize I'm suffering because I once told myself that that was mine, and it was never mine. We shared something beautiful, but I have no ownership over anyone on the planet. you know, yeah. And no one has ownership over me. Mm. So the true expression of unconditional love is to not have that ownership,
mm.
but, you know, give my human self the space to cry, feel it, dive 2 feet in to feel the full experience and move through it. And
mm.
the energy shifts, the grief shifts, and our understanding, that remembering of who we really are and what we're here to do, and, you know, coming back to that connection with the divine and the trust and the understanding, the surrender, and say, okay, life, show me what's next. Show me what I'm being prepared for.
Mm. So how do you receive your guidance for that? Like, how do you know that you're being divinely guided to hear and hear and hear?
Good question.
Yeah, I could see that on your face. Because obviously, because I do as well, but I'm always interested, like, are there other ways I can talk to the divine? And I'm sure the audience wants to know as well.
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest things for me is number sequences. Like, it's ridiculous. So I'm in Chicago at the moment. I went to book my flight. It was $444, landed at 444, took 4 hours and 4 minutes.
Wow.
We ended up landing an hour early, and my friend literally pulled up out the front at 4:44. Like, it was ridiculous. I'm like, okay. When my grandmother, it was her birthday in, she would have been 91 on January 22nd, and they unveiled a plaque in her honor. The whole street had contributed to put up a memorial plaque, and they sent me the picture of the plaque at 4:44. I was like, all right, Nan's got her little fingers in these travel plans as well.
Mm.
And then there was ease to it.
Mm.
I was getting back to Kauai, and there was a, so sometimes I feel it as a knowingness that comes from the back of my mind, like, oh, I know that person, or I know that person's name. You know, it's kind of like a recall, and it's like, that's in my mind already. That wasn't put into my mind. It's come from my mind outwards. Okay, there's a knowingness there, an intellectual knowingness. Sometimes it's a bodily knowingness, like that intuition, that gut drive.
Mm.
And it's like, oh, I don't feel like I'm meant to go ahead. That doesn't feel in alignment.
Damn so it, because it looks so good, but it doesn't. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like that.
Yes.
Like, no, can't it be?
Makes sense. And sometimes it's a calling in my heart. Like, my heart is yearning and magnetizing me towards something that's like, whoa, pulling me forward. So I've had all of those experiences. I use oracle cards and crystals and, you know, those kind of tools, which are just physical representations of my energy.
Mm.
So they work on the law of attraction. So this is where my energy's at, and this is what the cards are showing me now. And yet I can change my energy. I can change the outcome of the cards. So I'm very conscious of not disempowering myself, actually, is that I understand this guidance is coming from a higher aspect of myself.
Yeah.
Have you seen Interstellar?
No. But,
oh, my God, babe.
You know how, so this is how I know I'm divinely guided. One of the ways, there's lots, but one is, I think I saw it a little bit when I went to a cafe on the weekend in the thing, and I was like, okay, the people who are listening and not watching, I was just completely stuck to the TV, and I don't ever watch TV. And someone else said it just recently, and now you've said it again, and so I'm like, okay, must watch Interstellar. Got it.
Thank you for reminding me. That is another way.
Yeah.
When someone said to me, you've got to read Caroline Miss's Sacred Contracts, I was like, okay. And then my kinesiologist said it in the same week, and I was like, huh, okay. Then my acupuncturist said it. I was like, okay.
All right.
I ordered the book from Amazon, and the day it arrived, I got an email saying Caroline Miss is coming to Australia.
Oh.
I was like, okay, I'm meant to go to that. Like, that shit, the synchronicities are awesome. That's why my client said, you're hip to the universe. And I'm like, yes, but we encourage that when we acknowledge it. Mm. When you honor it, a lot of people go, I don't know if that's a sign. I don't know if... Well, you're the creator of your reality. Do you want it to be a sign? Choose it. And when you choose it and you honor it and you show gratitude for it, you create more of it. So I have literally created a life where I'm seriously guided by the most ridiculous synchronicities, because that's what I chose. And that's what I said to the universe. This is how I want my guidance. This is the clearest way for me to know these. So synchronistic, I laugh at it. But I'm putting a spoiler alert out there for Interstellar.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's scientifically accurate, as we know science to be at the moment, and it shows this moment of fifth dimensional reality to third dimensional reality. So we are interdimensional beings.
Mm-hmm.
We're having this third dimensional experience now of, you know, height, width, depth, and space. However, we exist beyond that, which we might not necessarily be able to perceive. So in the fourth dimension of time, I know I existed yesterday, and I know I will exist tomorrow. But I can't necessarily perceive that. I can't go back and meet my yesterday self and have a conversation. So here I am in the fourth dimension of time from infant to the moment I pass, but I can't experience it.
Mm.
And for a two-dimensional being, like on my Oracle card, for example, that picture that's there is only in the second dimension, but I can move the Oracle card through space and it's in the third dimension, but it has no idea. It's just a two-dimensional thing. So we have this understanding that we exist in dimensions beyond. We just can't necessarily perceive it from where we're standing. So for these higher and higher dimensions of myself that can see, I'm in the maze, but the higher part of me is standing down going, I know you want to turn left, Erin, but I'm promising you there's a shortcut to the right. Erin, turn to the right. It's going to get my attention. So is it going to put a little synchronicity there? Is it going to give me a little number sequence to follow? Like, it's going to somehow bump into the third dimension and say, there you go. So just like I could use a torch and shine against my hand and create a shadow puppet with my hand, I'm creating a two-dimensional object from the third dimension going, hey, Erin, like a little dog.
Yeah.
My two-dimensional self, the higher aspects of myself, is also guiding me and pointing it down. So yes, I might say Jesus came to me with this message, or I had this connection with Mother Mary or Archangel Michael or like interdimensional beings. That is truth, but to me, it's not the absolute truth. The absolute truth is oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And that there's a spectrum from the oneness to the individuation.
Mm.
Somewhere along that spectrum, there's me and there's Archangel Michael and Mother Mary. But if we go all the way to the end, we're all one.
Yeah.
Yes, I'm being guided, but ultimately it's me. It's my environment. I'm not saying, God, why have you forsaken me? Archangel Michael, where are you when I need you? No, it's me. I created this reality. You're creating yours. I'm creating you. You're creating me. And at the other end of the spectrum, we are one. I am you. You are me. So I'm really passionate about science, actually, and that connection and that understanding of that we're just so much greater than perceived. Yeah. And I think that's my gift for clients, is that I can see that. Mm. I look at a client and I see their potential. I know who they are beyond their limitations of what they can perceive at the moment. And my job is to remove whatever's standing in the way of them experiencing that and embodying that and knowing they're so much greater than what they are currently.
Mm.
That doesn't even make sense. They are. They just are.
Yeah, to help them see the truth and then live it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Mm, my gosh. All right. So we're already coming up to near the end, Erin. I can't believe this. I don't want you to go. What do you, like, I don't know, hit me with what you think is the coolest thing that you could tell people right now. What is, like, some practical advice? You're like,
no pressure. Well, I like the practical advice. I think that's really, really important as spiritual teachers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Is that
it's not just waffly intellectual spiritual concepts, because that's all well and good. But what the fuck do we actually do in our real life?
Like, yes,
we have to bring it into this current reality, this time and space, and this level of awareness to actually do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
And look, I've met a lot of people who can talk some good talk.
Mm.
Really, they can carry on with the good talk. But does that mean they've embodied it? Does that mean they've worked on their shit? Absolutely not. Mm. So I asked myself when I was in the presence of someone that was talking some good talk, if that person couldn't speak spiritual truth anymore, what would they be teaching through their actions and their vibration? And when I mentally put them on mute, oh, I felt my whole body reel away from them. There was so much resistance. And I was like, God, we are not a vibrational match.
Yeah.
Their words were almost compensating on some level because they could talk the concepts. So I said to myself, right, if I could never speak again, if I could not tell, if, like I said at the beginning of this podcast, like, feel it. Mm. If we didn't have a verbal conversation today, what did you learn from me through my vibration and through my action? And that's how I want to live in the world. And that's how I know I'm being of service. So I had this revelation when I was in Bali. I was looking at one of the temples and it had 11 tiers on its roof. And 11 is a huge guiding number for me. And I was like, oh shit, I am the temple. Mm-hmm. And all I need to do is root down into the earth, reach high towards the spirit, and people will come. And people will come and have beautiful healings or ceremony. And the temple doesn't change itself, and the temple doesn't try and extend out and do something or control something. It is just being a temple. And some people walk past and have no freaking idea that it's a temple or throw rubbish on it. It doesn't matter to the temple. It's just about the beingness. And then I also have a revelation when I was back on Kauai, because I wanted to stay longer and I felt this like resistance to what I know that I was being asked to do, which was continue to travel. And Kauai is known as Lemuria. And in Lemurian times, they would encode crystals with wisdom and knowledge and energy and send the crystals out. And then people would download that from the crystal itself. And I realized, like, holy shit, I am the crystal. I'm coming back to Kauai for an energetic experience that I don't even necessarily need to understand on a conceptual level, but I am being encoded with energy on like one of the highest vibrational places on the planet. And then I'm being called to go out and be myself in the world. So just to be loving, to be peaceful, to work on my own shit and anything that's standing in the way for me being the highest expression of who I am, and people will get what they need from me. So that's what I really would encourage people to do, is like stop the doing and challenge yourself. What if I could do nothing for the rest of my life? Touch wood, something happens tomorrow and I could no longer use my body or my words in the way that I have in the past. How can I still be valuable? And can we look at someone that is wheelchair bound and mute, and do we look at them as valuable? Fuck yeah. Of course, it's inherent. So as soon as we can get out of our concept of needing to do or needing to change or needing to heal or needing to save, honor each soul on their path, let them be where they are and just be you. So keep coming back within, working on our own resting vibration and being the highest expression of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so you and I spoke very briefly about Trump, and I think that's worth bringing up, and maybe because I'm in the States at the moment as well and attracting more clients in the States, but it's a huge topic worldwide, what's happening with Trump. And I remember thinking, like, why am I here for this? Why am I experiencing this? I just want my mum, and I just want my Medicare card, and I just want my government who makes me safe. Gave me this deep appreciation for my home in Australia. And I said to that to one of my friends on Kauai, like, I don't understand why I'm here, why I have to go through this experience. And she said, you have been brought to us. You're here to help us through this experience. And I was like, holy shit. I'd never considered that. You know, I went into victim mode. I went into poor me, but how can I be of service? I'm here to be of service just through my beingness, just in holding that vibration and helping raise the vibration of America during this very difficult time.
Yeah.
So that's as practical and impractical as that is, and as intangible as that is actually focus on less doing and be of service in your beingness in every moment.
That's honestly some of the best advice I've ever heard. And I run a podcast, so I hear a lot of good advice.
Oh, babe.
Yeah. That's like amazing. It's just so many people. Feel free to use that on your website. So many people so many people talk it and they're not living it. It's not in their body. And we are like the world around us is a holographic representation of us. Like our DNA has like all of the parts of who we are inside of that DNA, every little cell. And then our body has all of the parts, I believe, of like the world around us, and science is catching up, which is awesome. Yeah. And so many people are like, I want to change the world. Like they get a taste of like personal development or fulfillment. They're like, I want to change the world. I want to help so many people. And I'm like, I don't know. That's actually not what I'm here for at all, which it used to feel like. I am here to be the most joyful expression of myself and the most liberated and free. Yes. And that naturally inspires other people around me and helps them be that. But my focus is no longer on how can I help somebody else? Cause that was just like, for me, an avoidance technique of how I could like not focus on myself for a while.
Yeah.
So
and the world doesn't need changing. The world is freaking perfect. Yeah. We need changing.
Yeah.
And when we change this world, the inner world, the rest of the world changes. It's like, it's a miracle. That's the hologram. It's like, do the healing in here. And so much love and respect and peace and gratitude to every soul where they're at. Cause you and I, we had to journey that.
Yeah.
We had to intellectualize it before we embodied it. We had to be the ones talking the good talk before we'd worked on our shit. We had to be the ones going out and saving and rescuing, because that's part of the journey. So yeah. I have no judgment for the people that are there. Like, man, I thought I was a big fish in a small pond. I thought I had all my shit cleared. And then the universe is like, I'm going to make you eat your words, girl. So yeah. Now I'm very careful never to claim that I'm anything. Like you said, it's like, if I just fake it till I make it, the universe won't challenge me anymore. The work's never done. It's infinite. Mm. But I too, it's a safety zone to intellectualize it. Mm. And a lot of the work is subconscious, so we can't access it. Like, I had really mastered my conscious mind. So I was like, I've got my shit sorted. Mm. That wounds of this lifetime, childhood wounds, past lifetime wounds, huge karma to clear on a global scale, like the sacred contracts that we've committed to. So the work is never done.
Mm.
And as soon as we think that we've done the work, it's a danger zone to be in. And yeah. So just be open to, like, always doing more work. And we will teach, people will learn what they need to learn. It's so beautiful. We will attract clients two steps behind us on the path who we can hold the light for and say, babe, I've been there. I felt that. I know what you're going through. It's going to be okay. And let me guide you through that. That's the beauty. It's like, it doesn't matter where we are on our path. We will attract the people we can hold the light for.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, in the non-working, you know, creating a living kind of sense, we're holding the light or the shadow. Like, I trigger the shit out of people. You know, I think I'm all peace, love and forgiveness. Do you know how many people get triggered by me, get intimidated by me, like create story, like I'm just being me. If that's what you need from me, that's what you'll get from me.
Exactly.
You're scared of me. Okay.
Yeah, that's like another way to invite more light into the world, because you're you and it triggers someone else and then they can look at that and yeah, it's so perfect, isn't it? It's so good.
The most divine order. Everything is being orchestrated in every moment for the highest expression of who we are. In the way that we can't even freaking imagine, in the most divinely perfect way. And if I could offer that to everyone, is to walk in that remembrance that everything is divinely perfect in every moment, and to look for that perfection, to look for the things to be grateful for, to look for the lessons. When we are existing in what we perceive to be our ideal life, what would we be grateful for in this moment? Like, what would we look back and say, God, thank God that happened to me? Because that's what we need to find in moment-to-moment awareness, is look for the jewel, look for the gratitude, look for the opportunity, look for the lesson.
Yes. And you know what I say to people when they, like, you know, everything is divine and it's all orchestrated. I am really into science at the moment, so I've got some great stuff on that, but I can't yet prove that that's the case. And people who ask, you know, how do you know that? I say, well, what feels better? And for me, if like you haven't gotten to that point where you can fully feel that as truth yet, just ask yourself, does it feel better to believe that or to feel like that it's this random occurrences and nothing is guiding you and holding you? And just like, I don't know, I always pick the belief that feels better.
Someone said to me, unicorns don't exist. Like, you guys are just crazy. And I'm like, well, my belief system is just like a whole bunch of made up thoughts. Your belief system is a whole bunch of made up thoughts. Which one makes me feel better? Yeah. I want to believe that I live in a universe where I'm guided and there's unicorns.
Like, yeah.
And we can be sovereign. And in my world, which really is just my energy field, my thoughts, my emotions, my body, I can have whatever we're actually doing that already. I walk down the street, someone who's living in their own universe and their own beliefs, and they could be walking past going, Chicago is so cold and this weather is miserable and it's awful, and I'm walking down the very same footpath going, this is the most beautiful magical thing, look at this snow, it's like sparkles falling from the sky. So we're already living in two different realities already. So every single belief is exactly the same, none of it's real ultimately. What a paradox.
Yeah, I know.
Except for this belief. The absolute truth is oneness, and everything else is just the journey back to oneness, and from a scientific level, the unified field, the singularity.
Thank you, gorgeous woman. This has been such a fun podcast. I honestly am so excited to have met you and so grateful that I get to share all of what we just discussed, which was fun, and I would have totally done this had it not been for anyone else, but I'm glad we get to share it with other people.
Me too, and you'll be on the front page of my website with your amazing compliment.
Someone complimented me in the last podcast and I was like, I'm going to put that on my website.
I heard this thing about compliments.
Really?
I realized, someone said to me, oh my God, Erin, your eyes. Oh my God, they're so beautiful. Every date you must go on, they must compliment you on your eyes. And I was like, I don't think anyone's complimented me on a date ever. So then I bring it back to myself. This is a reflection of me. Am I giving out compliments? Shit, I show up lovingly, but I don't necessarily say, hey, I love this about you, or this is what really sparks for me around you. And so I thought, okay, shift that. Start being that. If you want to invite more compliments in, be more complimentary. And I hadn't even actually voiced one yet, and I got 3 compliments in the next 24 hours.
Like, that's
So it's awesome that you received a compliment. But just see what happens, this sharing of love, this verbal sharing of love incites naturally more sharing of love. So that's a tangible action step. I would love to challenge everyone to go out and spend 24 hours complimenting in every situation that they're in.
Spread the love. Yes. Yeah. I love this. Okay. So thank you, Erin. Everyone who's listening, if you would like to find out more about Erin, she's going to tell you how to find her. Go ahead.
Yep. Erin. My website is the easiest way, erinkiner.com. Mm-hmm. And everything's in a state of evolution and flux. So there'll be offerings coming. There'll be ways to work with me coming. There'll be who knows what. And it's all just open for guidance. And if there's something that people want, if there's a way that I can be of service, let me know. And I would love to be.
Awesome. And erinkiner.com, erinkyna.com. I just want to make sure you can find
her. Thank you.
thank you, Erin. And thank you everyone for listening as well, because I get to meet amazing people like this because you listen, which is really cool. Thank you. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please head over to iTunes and give us a 5-star rating and a review, because I would love for more people to understand that this podcast has something to say and that, you know, that they maybe want to listen to it. So please do that, because sharing your love, just like we talked about.
Leave a compliment.
leave a compliment. Sharing your love there will help share more love in the world. Thank you. And head over to facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara, Kiara with a K, and find Erin and I and a beautiful, gorgeous photo of us. And then feel free to leave us a comment, like have a conversation with us, ask a question of Erin while we've got her here. Tell us how you complimented someone and what happened in response, or just how you want to be instead of speak or do. I would love to have a conversation with you and keep this kind of fun, high vibe energy going. So please head over to facebook.com/aninspiredlife with Kiara for that conversation, or erinkiner.com so that you can get to know her some more. Erin, amazing. I love you. Thank you.
I love you, Kiara. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. From the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of the bottom of my infinite heart. Thank you.
Which is just the bottom of my heart too, because we're all one. So thank you.
You have been listening to the An Inspired Life podcast with me, Kiara O'Leary. I'm so excited to be guiding you on your own journey of living your own version of an inspired life. Head over to aninspiredlife.com.au if you want access to more inspiring stories, tips, tools, frameworks, anything that I can possibly give you that will help you live a more fulfilling life. I put on there, and so much of it is free. And there's also empowering life solutions, from how to make your breakup the best thing that ever happened to you, to the Sacred Business Academy, taking it from an idea to your life's work in only 11 weeks. So I hope you can head on over to aninspiredlife.com.au and find something that will help you and guide you for where you're at right now. Thank you. My name's Kiara again, and I am so grateful to be guiding you on this journey. See you next time.